almost said gruffly. But keep them out of sight. We don't want trouble if we can avoid it. Once his men were ready, Omo opened the passenger side door, got out, and led the toughs across the broken sidewalk and into what had once been known as the Grand Imperialis Hotel. However, as Omo and his team crossed the lobby, there was nothing grand about a space in which the poorest of the poor could rent a 3-foot by 7-foot section of dirty floor for 50 centimes per night. A pathetic accommodation, to be sure, but one that was superior to sleeping on the streets, where all manner of predators roamed the darkness. It was never a good idea to stare, not in Port City, so the scraggling-looking specimens who were standing, sitting, or lying around the lobby were careful to look elsewhere as the toughs made their way back to a bank of elevators and took control of the only one that worked. It carried them to the second floor, where Omo led his men down a graffiti-decorated hall toward the east side of the building. At the end of the passageway, the group was forced to turn left. The air around them was thick with the cloying odors of cooking, backed-up toilets, and the sickly sweet scent of incense. The mixture caught at the back of Omo's throat and reminded him of the public stack in which he'd spent his early years. And there was no escaping the incessant babble produced by dozens of competing vid sets, a child wailing somewhere nearby, and a shouting match between a man and woman, all punctuated by the occasional bleat of a distant siren, the gentle rumble generated by a shuttle as it passed over the building, and the constant slamming of doors. Having arrived at what he judged to be the correct spot, Omo came to a stop. Then, after gesturing for his men to take up positions to either side of a door, he rapped on the much-abused wood and waited for a response. There was a 30-second pause, during which scuffling sounds were heard, and Omo sensed that someone was peering at him via the door's peephole. The assassin smiled stiffly, held a gold imperial up so that the person within could see it, and waited to see which emotion would win, greed or fear. Omo wasn't surprised when a series of clicks were heard, and the door opened just far enough for a man to peek out. He had thin, wispy hair, deep-set eyes, and hollow cheeks.
"Yeah?" he inquired cautiously. "What do you want?"
"I want your room," Omo answered simply. "I'll give you 2 Imperials for it, but you have to clear out now and never come back."
2 Imperials was a lot of money in Port City, and Omo could see the eagerness in the other man's eyes.
3 Imperials, he responded cagily. "Give me 3 Imperials and the room is yours. We need time to pack, though."
"Okay," Omo replied reasonably. 3 Imperials it is, plus 10 minutes to pack. Then, if you aren't out of there, my men and I will throw you out."
The man was frightened, but determined, and ran his tongue over dry lips.
"I want the money in advance."
"Here's 1/3 of it," Omo replied as he held his hand out. "You'll get the rest in 10 minutes. Start packing."
The gold piece disappeared so fast, Omo could barely detect the movement of the other man's hand. And the door was about to close when he placed a boot in the gap.
"Oh, no you don't," Omo cautioned. "Leave it open."
The man withdrew, and the door swung open, giving Omo a clear view of what had originally been a hotel room with attached bath. Now it was home to a family of 5, including the man, a rail-thin woman who was feverishly stuffing belongings into pieces of mismatched luggage, and 3 children who were busy getting in the way. Makeshift bunk beds took up one wall, a mattress occupied part of the floor, and a vidset was perched on top of a cage containing 3 chickens. But beyond the squalor, 3 vertical windows could be seen, each of which was worth at least 1 Imperial to Omo.